A lot of people wonder what could they do, what would they do, and in some states, people think, you know, I'll do my best to carry and be able to protect me and my family if they're with me. But what about the realities of a mass shooting event if you happen to be involved in one? Well, there's someone out there who actually spends his time talking to people about what to do, and we figured it would be great to get Alan Burris on the program to talk about it. Now, Alan, if I'm butchering your name, I apologize. But for those who are here listening, this is Alan Burris, who you can go to surviveashooting.com and learn more. And Alan, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on, Eric. I appreciate it.
So let's talk about the basics here. School shootings, mass shootings, mall, grocery, we've seen these headlines just, I mean, in the last few weeks. They are increasingly a phenomenon in this country, although still rare. But what should people think about them, know about them, expect?
You know, I think there's two really important things that everybody should have on their mind. One, get rid of the denial and accept the fact that they do happen and they can happen. And you're right, it's going to be rare that it happens to you, but they are going to happen to someone. And so we have to accept that personal responsibility that it could happen to us, and we are our own first responders, and we should have a simple plan in place for a situation if it were to happen.
You know, I like that you said that we're our own first responders. My wife actually says that. She went to a school a while back, a gun training school, where they kind of reiterated that if you're waiting for 911, every second you wait is a second that you've put yourself in harm's way if you don't have a plan to be able to take care of yourself. And it really had an impact on her. Now, regularly when she goes places, she tries to make sure she knows where she's going, getting in, getting out, where the kids are at all times. Really changed her way of thinking on this stuff. How do you approach people on how they should retrain their thinking?
Well, often I start every class and lecture saying, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And that is nothing against the brave men and women out there serving their communities. It's just the nature of the job. They don't respond until you call them. You don't call them until something bad has already happened. And that's what makes us our first responder. And I actually even had a person in a class. I was teaching with a captain of a police department. We were both up front. And one individual said, "Why do we need to know this? Isn't it your job?" to the police captain. Yeah. And he said the exact same thing I just did. He said, "Yes, it's my job, and I'll get there as quick as I can. But I want you to be able to survive until I get there." And that's what we're trying to teach you.
A lot of people, though, that they've got this in their head that, yes, the police are there to protect, but the police possibly they can't get there in time. And a lot of people, their idea is, I'm just going to hide and wait. When people get into a situation like this, the police aren't going to be there for a while. What's the first thing they should do?
The way I teach it, you know, everybody knows run, hide, fight. And it's often taught in a linear, first you run, then you hide, and last you fight. I don't teach that way. I have a triangle. In the middle of the triangle, you have to act. You have to move. You have to do something. But what you do is there's arrows to the three corners. Escaping could be an option, and it's a great option if you can. Denying that killer access to you is the next option. That could be barricading, locking yourself in where they can't get in. It could be getting behind cover, something that's bulletproof they can't shoot through. And then the third option is defending yourself, fighting, attacking back. If, say, you're in the front of a classroom, we're in a college class, I'm sitting in the front right by the door, a killer bursts through that door, you're not going to escape, you're not going to hide or deny. You're going to have to take that guy out, and hopefully the couple people next to you are helping. If you're in the very back of the room, you're not going to be taking him out. Then maybe you can escape out the window, the back door, or get behind something bulletproof. So which of the three options you choose is always going to be based on the proximity of the killer and the location that you're in and your capabilities.
Yeah, capability, I think, is a big one, and increasingly, it seems like, I don't know, we encounter stories of people who were heroic in trying to stop a shooter, but it also seems that there are also situations where people, it's hard to make this come across without saying disparaging, I really don't mean it, but occasionally there are people who they react. But in their reaction, I don't know that they've thought through exactly what they're doing, and sometimes they could have done something different.
And that's why I like people to have a plan. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate plan. In fact, you want it to be very simple. And that's why, you know, we just have the 3 points of the triangle, escape, deny, you know, defend yourself. But which one you do, you can have a little training in all of those. And say you know that you're not a fighter. You just can't defend. It's just not in you for whatever reason. You better get good at the other two. If you can't escape easily because maybe you have a bad leg or something, well, you need to increase how you're going to deny people and how you're going to defend yourself. So you have to really do a self-assessment when you're making your plan as well.
Now, I'm curious, how did you get into teaching people how to survive shootings?
You know, I've been teaching martial arts and self-defense for years. You know, I started teaching Hapkido in the 90s, and I was doing safety and self-defense classes as well, which are different from martial arts. And it was after the Aurora shooting in Colorado, people started saying, you know, Alan, what do you do in these situations? You know, because I was already teaching safety and self-defense. And that's when I sort of shifted gears. I started studying more on it. I took courses. I became certified by Safariland Training Group to teach their active shooter response course, which I taught with a cadre of great instructors, and I learned from those other instructors and learned by teaching. Did that for years. Then I decided to teach my own classes and decided to write the book that I wished would have been available when I got interested in the topic after that Aurora shooting.
Yeah, and I mean... This isn't what you do now. It's not something I would imagine people say, hey, one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to teach people how to survive this. It's just, it is a reality that we live in now. Let me ask you, there are, I'm sure, lots of business people, school administrators listening. If there's something they could do to preempt or have an immediate initial response to mitigate, what sort of things should they be thinking of?
One thing to prevent that I think is very important, and we teach, is you have a threat assessment team. And that could be one or two people in a small organization. It might be a group of people that also has a law enforcement and a mental health professional on speed dial. And it's not that you get regular meetings, but when people, and this could be students, because we have had students report other kids to principals and vice principals, and they stop tragic things. It could be a coworker, because we've had coworkers report and stop tragic things. But when something is reported, you need to take it seriously and figure out if that is an actual threat. And if it is, get that person the help they need before they do something bad. And I think if we had more of that going on, we could prevent some of these, because a lot of them show signs beforehand. But those signs are sort of ignored often.
What signs do you think people should be paying attention to?
You know, something terrible goes on in a person's life, a divorce, a death, a firing, and their mood changes. They're down. They're depressed. You know, they're buying extra firearms. They're not just, you know, buying a hunting rifle and going out and zeroing it in for hunting season. But, you know, the Virginia Tech killer, when they talked to a guy at a gun range, that Virginia Tech killer was on the gun range practicing shooting under desks and tables. I mean, walking and shooting like he was shooting under a desk or table. That's not normal behavior on a firing range. An active interest in these killers. I mean, if it's somebody like me studying them, okay, I have a reason. But why is Joe all of a sudden reading all these internet things about all these previous killers? Because we know they have learned from previous killers to get themselves better. The Virginia Tech guy, he chained the doors that prevented the law enforcement to get in as quickly, because he learned that from the Amish killing, when that guy barricaded and chained doors to keep the cops out from what he was doing to those girls in the Amish schoolhouse. So those kind of things, you know, just a person's just not right. And sometimes we know, we have those feelings, the intuition, and we need to be like Gavin DeBecker says in his book, Gift of Fear, pay attention to that intuition and those feelings and act upon it, and we could stop some bad things from happening.
We could. Listen, Alan, where can people go to find out more and learn more about you?
You know, they can go to Survive a Shooting or Amazon for the book. They can go to reflexprotect.com for my trainings and other different products that we provide to help people stay safe and defend themselves.
It's unfortunately a more common thing, and also fascinating, the psychology and thought behind it. Alan, thank you very much for stopping by. I really do appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, Eric.
Thank you. Alan Burris, surviveashooting.com is his website.